Welcome back to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. I'm your host, Dana Montes of Real Food with Dana. I'm a nutritionist and body image coach, teaching women how to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, ditch the diet cycle for good, and truly thrive with real food, one delicious meal at a time.
Hey, 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 it's me, and we're back again for another episode, again, all about CBD on the Real Talk with Dana podcast. This is episode number 94. I'm your host, Dana, obviously, and we're going to be talking about the second part of CBD today. We're going to be talking about the legality of CBD and drug testing and all that good stuff. But before we get there today, a couple of updates for you guys of fun things that have either just happened in the last week or that are coming your way. So I finally, after a month, hey, only took me that long to get up this post, but hey, it's here. I finally got up the first part of my Bali travel guide. So in this part, I'm talking about all of the restaurants and delicious eats that we had while we were hopping around the island and the islands next to Bali. So if you want to check that out, it's on realfoodwithdana.com. I'm pretty sure I included about 40 restaurants that we ate at while we were in Bali. And long story short, it was not hard at all to find gluten-free and delicious food in Bali. So make sure you check that out. And then a lot of you have been asking, yes, I am taking new clients. So if you are interested in working together on some digestion, gut, or hormonal issues without slipping back into the kind of yo-yo dieting cycle or just feeling like you're on and off the wagon constantly while trying to figure this stuff out, because unfortunately, even when you're trying to work with therapeutic elimination diets to deal with some of these conditions, that is kind of what happens if you do it on your own without support and you have a history of yo-yo dieting like most of us do. So if you're interested in learning more about working together, just shoot me an email. It's realfoodwithdana@gmail.com, and I will be sure to get back to you. Other thing to look forward to in terms of fun things coming on the blog is I am working on some fun giveaways coming up for the holidays with you guys. And I'm also going to be working on a holiday gift guide that I do each year with a bunch of like sales and discounts on all of my, well, not all of them, a lot of favorite products and books and services that I have been able to snag for you guys. So a lot of fun things coming. Look for all of that over on the blog at realfoodwithdana.com again. And now let's talk about some CBD. If you guys have any questions on last week's episode, or if you still have more questions about CBD after this part two episode, because again, this is part two, so make sure you listen to last week's episode, episode 93, where we really talked about like the basics of CBD 101. If you have more questions, send them through the podcast question submission on my website, or you can send me an email, send me a DM on Instagram, whatever you want to do to get in contact with me. Because if you guys have more questions, I want to get someone on the podcast who is an expert like Meg to answer them. So please let me know. So last time we were mostly talking about like the basics of CBD 101 and what CBD even is, the most common uses of it, the different forms that it comes in. And then we talked very specifically about like labeling and CBD and what to kind of avoid on labels for CBD if you're looking for a high quality product. So say a consumer like you or I or any of the listeners is going out to search out a high quality CBD product, what are some things that you look for to tell if a product out there is actually of high quality?
Yeah, so there are several things that I tell people to look for. And these are recommendations that are especially geared towards first-time CBD shoppers. But I think this is good advice for anyone if you're, you know, maybe you've been using a brand, but you're thinking of changing it up. So the first thing I'd say is if you're looking at a new brand, look for their return policy or some kind of satisfaction guarantee, because even a very high quality brand may not work for everyone. So most of the really reputable companies out there do offer a pretty reasonable return policy, especially for first time buyers. So I usually look for at least a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If if they say 30 days, but only for unopened products, then that doesn't really help you or give you a chance to try it. So I look for that return policy, look carefully, make sure that they have a no questions asked, you know, 30 day at least guarantee. The second thing that I look for is there are kind of 2 points, really 3 points of transparency that I look for. One is looking for a certificate of analysis for the finished products. A lot of companies will show a certificate for the CBD ingredient that they use, but most CBD oil products that you're going to be shopping for are made of CBD blended with a carrier oil for a tincture or blended with, different ingredients to make a gummy or different other ingredients to fill a capsule or, you know, so on and so forth. So you want to make sure that the certificate of analysis is for the specific product that you're looking for as much as possible. I like to look for the most complete certificates of analysis possible. So that'll include not only cannabinoid potency testing, which can be hard for people to interpret if they're not used to looking at this kind of information, but at least having it there is a show of good faith. So look for the date to make sure it's recent. If it's more than a year old, that's a little bit of a warning sign. You might be able to reach out directly to the company and get something more recent. But if they're keeping those things updated on their website, that's a really good sign. You might also see testing for pesticides, for terpenes, for heavy metals. The more complete their testing, the more that shows that they're really committed to transparency. I also look to see if they are open about where their hemp comes from and how it's grown. So if they're talking about, you know, we source our hemp from Colorado, from Kentucky, those are really promising things. If they're specific about the source, if they're specific about how it's grown, you know, either we source our hemp from USDA certified organic farms, or we work with local farmers who are very transparent about their growing practices. You know, just the more information, the better. As a general rule, the companies that are using really high quality hemp, that's a selling point. So it's not something they want to keep a secret. I also like to look to make sure that the brand is transparent about where they're located. Like, is there a physical address anywhere on the website? If you can't find one, that is a bad sign. I actually was going back and looking at some of our testing data from last year, and I noticed that there was a really strong correlation between brands that don't tell you where they're located and poor test results. So it makes sense when you think about it, but that's also not necessarily something that a consumer is going to think to look for. So those are the things as far as like choosing a reputable brand. You also can look for online reviews and see what other consumers have had to say about the brand. And then the other two things that I tell people to look for, and we spoke about this a little bit before in our previous conversation, is comparing the potency of the product and the price per milligram of CBD. So, if a bottle is 1 ounce, but it only contains 250, 300 milligrams of CBD, that's not a very potent product. So if it's a tincture, every dropper full is going to be fewer than 10 milligrams of CBD. That might be exactly what you want. You might want to be doing a microdosing regimen, but if you look for a more potent product, you're going to be able to use fewer drops, make it last longer, over time spend a lot less money. Then the final thing is to look at whether the product contains THC. And we spoke before about the differences between CBD isolate, full spectrum, and broad spectrum. So it's really a question of whether you want to have that small amount of THC to take advantage of the entourage effect, or if you want to use CBD isolate to avoid having THC for whatever reason. Like maybe you're very sensitive to THC, maybe you're concerned about drug testing, and I know we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but that's something that is, I think, important for people to look for. And that should be something that you can find in the certificate of analysis.
Awesome. Well, I feel like we have armed people with a lot of things that they can both look for and that they can go positively towards or try to avoid. So what I really want to talk about on this episode is all of the legality around CBD, because now that we've talked about what CBD is, what THC is, you know, all of the different things that I mentioned, and we've talked about what to look for, what to kind of avoid if you're looking for a high quality product, none of this matters if it's not legal, right? And you don't want to get in trouble. Or say you get drug tested for your job. And we like you said, we are going to talk about that after this first part of talking about CBD. So what about the law when all of this comes into consideration? Like, is CBD legal?
CBD is legal at the federal level in the United States. The 2018 Farm Bill contained several provisions that dealt specifically with hemp. It changed the federal definition of hemp to specifically say that it's defined by the quantity of THC by weight. So any cannabis plant that contains less than 0.3% THC is considered hemp. In the past, the definition was kind of complicated and a little bit convoluted, and it had to do with stalks and stems and seeds and flowers. And so, like, in one plant, some parts of it could be considered hemp and some parts of it were considered marijuana. So it was very complicated before. And so the Farm Bill really clarified that. It also specifically included derivatives of the plant in the definition of hemp. So an extract like CBD, as long as it doesn't go over the legal amount of THC, is considered hemp and it is legal. So the Farm Bill changed the definition of hemp and it amended the Controlled Substances Act to say that hemp, as defined here, is not a controlled substance. It's not included in the controlled substance scheduling at all. So that meant that in the past, the DEA had determined that hemp was under their purview, even though that was very hotly contested. This was the stance that the DEA took. So now the DEA clearly is not in charge of hemp. Hemp is under the authority of the FDA and the USDA. So at a federal level, hemp and CBD are legal as long as they don't go over the limit of THC. The issue right now is that on a state-by-state basis, the states do have the option to create their own regulations for hemp, for CBD. And the USDA has also been charged with developing its own rules and regulations, which will apply if a state doesn't create their own. The USDA hasn't done that yet. So there are some states, like I believe it's Utah, has seized hemp shipments, hemp flower coming through their state, just, you know, going from, I believe, Colorado to Oregon or something like that. Passing through Utah, the truck gets pulled over. Everything is confiscated. So the argument is that the USDA hasn't released its regulations. So for now, Utah's state laws stand. So you do have to be a little bit careful right now that you're in a state that is friendly to CBD. So there are really only a few at this point that have these sort of rigorous laws concerning CBD. The trend in the past, really since the passage of the Farm Bill, has been that one state after another is creating its own agricultural hemp program and specifically saying that CBD is legal and is not considered a controlled substance in the state. But it is important to know what the laws are in your state, because depending on where you live, even from locality to locality, from county to county, the way that law enforcement interprets the existing laws can vary quite a bit. And so there is a little bit of risk if you're in a location that is not friendly to CBD.
And then where can people go to find out what the laws by state are?
We have an interactive map on our website that we keep pretty updated. I actually just updated it last week with a lot of the new laws that have passed this year. And there are a number of resources. There are more resources available concerning medical marijuana laws. There aren't a lot that specifically look at hemp, but I mean, you can really just Google, is hemp legal in Kansas? Is hemp legal in New York? And is CBD legal here? And you'll be able to find a pretty robust body of commentary on the subject. And I would say just if you're Googling, just make sure that you're looking at content that is dated as recently as possible, because right. These things are changing every day. Mm-hmm.
So I live in Maryland, and I was looking on the CBD Hacker, like, state by state thing. And so even though I've now done the research to find out, is it legal in Maryland, I don't really understand what the terms mean. So if you could help, like, me and the listeners understand, that would be great. So it says Maryland has medical cannabis. Okay, understand that. And an industrial hemp pilot program. What does that mean?
The industrial hemp pilot program, it is terminology that's kind of left over from the 2014 Farm Bill, when that law created the possibility for states to create an industrial hemp pilot program to investigate the feasibility of hemp agriculture in their state. So the terms were kind of loose and not extremely clearly defined, but basically it created the opportunity for states to create hemp agriculture programs. And usually, although not always, that has included some kind of provision for extracts like CBD.
Just in general, and I don't know if this is federal or if it's different state by state, but is there a difference in the legality of CBD if it's like a tincture or oil versus topicals versus like food or drink products with CBD?
The FDA is charged with regulating things like food, beverages, beauty products. The FDA has not released, like the USDA with the agricultural guidelines, the FDA is working on their guidelines for CBD and other cannabinoids. They have not updated their stance. Their current stance is that CBD as a drug, as an ingredient, is not legal, with the exception of Epidiolex, which is the seizure medication that has FDA approval. So there is kind of a gray area. It's more on the manufacturer's side or the restaurant side, the cafe's side. It's, you know, if you put a few drops of CBD tincture in your coffee, the FDA isn't going to come knocking on your door because you're not distributing it to the world. But manufacturers that are putting CBD in chocolate, for example, are waiting eagerly to see what the FDA ends up saying about the legality of using CBD as an ingredient.
Okay, because I was just in, and I'm sure it's legal there, but I was just in Colorado for a wedding last month, and there are these like dispensaries, which I don't really understand them, but I know there's a room for medical marijuana, and then there's also a room for CBD and like products. And there was also another room for like THC products. So I'm assuming in a place like Colorado or Oregon or, you know, probably Vermont or something like this, it's definitely legal, but there's probably then a reason why those kinds of places don't also exist in, say, like Maryland or New York, right?
Well, specifically regarding food and beverages, it's sometimes surprising what the state regulators have to say. For example, in California, the California Health Department I believe it was late last year, released an opinion that CBD was not legal to add to food and beverages. So even though, you know, there's a robust recreational cannabis industry in California, the health department has its own obligations to the public. And so they were looking at this new ingredient that has become available and was becoming very popular. And they're saying like, whoa, the FDA did not approve this. You can't put this in food in your restaurant. So there are issues like that. I believe it was Massachusetts has had a similar issue. And what's happening is that in some states, the state legislatures are deciding to take it into their own hands and specifically say that CBD is legal as an ingredient in that state, which means that manufacturers or restaurants in that state could sell it, but you couldn't ship it to a different state because then it's under the FDA's purview again, and they still haven't approved CBD as an ingredient. So if any of your listeners are looking at, you know, small business owners who want to incorporate CBD as an ingredient, I would say definitely talk to an attorney who deals with cannabis law. Yeah, because you don't want to invest in something and then have all of your product confiscated. So just be careful, know your laws, know what the risks are. And there are certainly companies that seem to be thriving with CBD infused food and beverages. So talk to your lawyer.
Yeah, definitely. And then I guess this is more of a medical question, but is there, like, I've gotten this question on Instagram. So is there an like over the counter versus prescription CBD?
Well, yes, there is Epidiolex, which is a prescription medication that is prescribed for the on-label use is for rare childhood seizure disorders that are very hard to treat. It is possible for doctors to prescribe it for off-label uses as well. So yes, that's the prescription CBD that's available right now. Every other CBD product that you can just buy on the internet is over the counter by default. So, you do see companies saying that they use pharmaceutical grade CBD, and I say that with air quotes. And I don't know if that, you know, that sounds like marketing to me. I don't know if there are rigorous standards that they are observing in their manufacturing that make it pharmaceutical grade. And I would, you know, if you're curious, just ask the company's representatives to clarify what they mean by pharmaceutical grade.
Right. And then I guess your answer will be this varies state by state, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Can practitioners recommend CBD legally? Like not doctors, other practitioners.
Oh, so
say like what kind dietitians of, or I'm sure people get it from like chiropractors and stuff like that.
Well, it's not a controlled substance federally, so I don't think there would be a legal issue with that. That's not something I've looked into, to be honest. I know that it's definitely become popular with massage therapists, with, you know, people in a lot of different wellness industries. I have not heard of anyone having legal issues from recommending CBD to a client, but I can't tell you that there would never be any issue.
That was a very political answer. Yes. No, that was good. Well, I mean, it's one of those things where it's such a new industry that we don't know all of the answers. So I think it's fine to have an answer of like, well, we haven't had any issues yet, or I haven't heard of any issues yet, but that doesn't mean that they haven't occurred, right? I mean, I'm sure if there are practitioners that are in Utah, right, they're probably mm-hmm. like going to get cracked down on. And then this is something that I wanted to bring up that people need to be careful about as well, because there are all of these people all over the internet that are promoting, you know, CBD for everyone and whatever. But then as a consumer, you need to be really careful to look at what are the laws of your state, because say you're following someone or, you know, whoever they are, it lives in California, Colorado, Oregon, any of these places, and they're recommending CBD. That's fine for them to recommend in their state, but they might not know. I mean, they don't know where you live, and you might live in a like red state or somewhere that CBD is not allowed. So you kind of have to take the responsibility back into your own hands and do your own research before you're like, well, this person said that I can have CBD. So again, this is just me ranting again about paying attention to where you're getting your health information from.
Absolutely. And, you know, CBD is really a tricky subject because there is a lot of misinformation. There are a lot of people who I think have very good intentions, but get very excited about something that they read and maybe haven't researched very thoroughly. And so you see people who are like, who are out there, like, you know, giving advice in groups to people about how to use CBD to cure cancer. And that is not a proven application of CBD. There is research going on right now into using CBD in various cancer treatments, but I don't think those researchers are just buying random over-the-counter CBD products and telling patients to take a few drops and see what happens. These are processes that are researching very specific technologies and delivery systems that aren't available to general consumers. So definitely watch out for over-the-top health claims. Anecdotally, for most people, CBD is not magic. It doesn't make a huge dramatic difference. For some people, it really seems to. Most people seem like they're not even sure whether it's really working until they stop taking it and symptoms return. And, you know, maybe the anxiety just kind of gradually decreases and is more manageable, or the pain gradually decreases and is more manageable. And then when they stop taking the CBD, it comes back, and that's when they see the difference. But it's not, for most people, it doesn't solve everything. It's more of a kind of a support while you work on other issues.
One really big question that I know we wanted to touch on is, I know there are a lot of people that get drug tested for either their job, or they work in the government, or they work for the military. For those people, is CBD safe to use?
Do not use CBD if you are in the military. There is no protection for you if you use CBD and you're in the military. The military has specifically said it is not okay for you to use CBD. So, I have seen for people who work in law enforcement, for example, some specific locations have officially said, we don't consider CBD to be a controlled substance. Our law enforcement agents are free to use it, but that can vary a lot. So definitely know the policies of your employer. And be aware that even CBD products that say that they're THC free may contain very teeny tiny traces of THC that build up in your body over time and can cause a person to fail a drug test. I would generally say, personally, because I'm sort of risk averse, if there is a possibility that you could lose your job for failing a drug test, and if you know you're subject to drug testing, CBD would not be the first thing I would try for for different issues. I would be extremely, extremely cautious to use CBD under those circumstances.
Yeah, probably very safe advice.
Yeah, and there's been some debate about, so drug testing actually looks for for THC metabolites. So these are the byproducts of your body processing THC specifically. Drug tests do not at this time look for CBD or any byproducts of CBD metabolism. But there are, even though drug tests aren't specifically looking for CBD, there are some, there's been some research that has suggested, although not proven, that it is possible for CBD as it's digested to somehow go through a process where THC metabolites are created. And I do not really understand the chemistry of this. And this is in an experimental environment that was meant to recreate the conditions of the human digestive system. You know, this isn't something that's been studied extensively in actual human bodies. But, you know, there is a possibility that even CBD isolate, pure CBD with no THC, could produce the metabolites that would cause you to fail a drug test.
Yikes.
Maybe. Maybe. you know, like, this is based on one study. So I don't want to say, like, yes, you will definitely fail a drug test if you take CBD. Lots of people take CBD isolate products and don't fail drug tests. But if it's your livelihood on the line, I would be very, very, very careful. And just because your state has medical marijuana laws or your state has legalized CBD, that doesn't protect you as an employee. And I would also say if you have the potential to be drug tested for other reasons, like if you are in a pain management program that might require you to take a drug test, that you should definitely talk to your provider, your doctor, or whoever is helping you with that, and talk to them about CBD. Talk to them about what happens if you take a drug test, if you fail, if it finds THC, if they can work with you, because that's definitely a risk for some people who are dealing with severe chronic pain.
Yeah, for sure. Was there anything else that you wanted to touch on? Or that maybe we forgot in the last episode?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking through my notes. Oh, I did want to come back to dosage.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I went back and I looked at my trusty reference books. You know, I like to defer to actual healthcare practitioners when it comes to dosing recommendations. So I can give you more specific numbers. This is still a pretty broad range. So a standard dose for most people would be somewhere at the low end, 10 milligrams a day, to at the high end, 100 milligrams a day of CBD. And there are conditions that require higher doses, and there are people who have anecdotally a lot of success with microdosing regimens where they're taking much smaller amounts or tiny amounts multiple times a day. But generally, it seems like that when you are first starting to use CBD and you're trying to figure out what your optimal dose is, that starting around that, you know, 10 milligrams a day, giving it a few days up to a week, seeing if you feel any difference, and then increasing slowly as needed is a pretty accepted way to start. So I think that's a little more precise than what I offered last time. So, and then, you know, if you're getting up into much higher doses, like up into 100 milligrams a day, 200 milligrams a day, those doses are getting pretty high. So I would definitely say, you know, if you're getting into that range, work with your doctor, and just make sure that you're not going to be experiencing interactions with any other medications. And, you know, make sure that you're getting the care that you need. And if there's anything else that you need to do to deal with whatever issue you're trying to treat with CBD, that, you know, you're making whatever appropriate adjustments to your life that you need to be making.
Right. Yeah. I mean, CBD shouldn't be the only thing that you're trying. Say it's if we're taking CBD to help with sleep or anxiety or whatever it is, or even pain management, it's not, like you said before, it's not the magic pill. It's not like the golden ticket. It's not going to fix all your problems. And it's also, I mean, for some people, it's definitely just putting a Band-Aid on the problem, right? It's like kind of like taking a like acetaminophen or an aspirin or whatever it is to just kind of mask the symptoms of what you're dealing with. It's not actually going to cure the problem that you're taking the CBD for. So it can definitely be a supplemental product that you can take in addition to trying to manage your anxiety in other ways, trying to manage your sleep in other ways, all those kinds of things. But it's not going to fix all your problems if you do it alone.
Generally not. Yeah. I mean, if you have a seizure disorder and CBD is the thing that helps you with your seizures, then it, absolutely. Like I don't want to, I don't want to go too far in saying that, making it sound like CBD doesn't really help people, because for some people, it really is a thing that makes a huge difference. And we're still learning about how it works in the body and how it can be used to address different conditions. But the majority of people who use CBD use it for sleep, for anxiety, for pain. And I think that these are all really complex issues and things that, generally speaking, most physicians wouldn't say if you're having anxiety issues to only take medication. They would say, you know, look at lifestyle modifications, you know, look at therapy, look at different ways to deal with anxiety. So just like anything else, a complex problem will likely have a complex approach to dealing with it. But, you know, there are other things where it, like maybe you're experiencing some kind of change in your life that's throwing things a little bit out of whack. Like I just started a much more intense workout program. CBD is helping me manage the pain from like the things that I'm doing to my muscles that they haven't had to deal with in a while. So I've upped my CBD intake a little bit and added some topicals to manage that for myself. And that's, you know, I'm not planning to keep this higher CBD dosage going forever. It's just helping me kind of adjust to a change. So I think CBD is very, very useful for things like that.
Definitely. Well, thank you again for coming
on.
Thank
you.
Please let people know where they can find you, where they can find CBD Hacker and all of the things if they want more information about CBD.
Yeah. So you can find CBD Hacker. It's cbdhacker.com. I'm on Twitter, @the_MegKramer, MegKramer. And I'm going to send you a few, just a short list of some books and other resources. Would that be something you could share?
Perfect.
Just,
yeah, I can put that in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So I'll give you some recommendations for books if people want to get more in depth and get information from, you know, doctors and nurses who work in medical cannabis and have much more specific recommendations about using CBD for specific conditions.
All right, that is it for this week's episode. Again, if you guys have any more questions about CBD, let me know. Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes. And come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.